So the woman in today's gospel comes to Jesus in desperate need because her daughter is being tormented by a demon. We don't have any real background on what that was like, but demons are vicious creatures, and you know, who knows how long this mother was watching her daughter being tortured by this demon. And she comes in her need to our Lord. And at first, our Lord doesn't even respond to her. And then he says to her that he was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And what does he mean by that? He's in the region of Tyre and Sidon, which was the northern region of Israel. And so after the kingdom split, you had the northern region of Israel, the southern region of Judah, and the northern region had been invaded and conquered by the Assyrians and were scattered. So they refer to them as the lost tribes of Israel. And so Jesus at this point is going up to find those lost sheep. And so he's going after the Israelites who were the descendants of the ones who were exiled from the first exile of the Assyrians. And so the time for the Gentiles would come, but it would be after the resurrection. And so at this point, Jesus' mission is to the sheep of Israel. And so that's what he says to this woman, that it's not time, it's not her time yet. And yet she persists. And Jesus does grant her request and frees her daughter from being tormented by the demon. And so as we look more closely at what this woman did, what does she say as she approached Jesus? The first words that she says in Greek are Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. Words that we should, as Catholics, be pretty familiar with from the Mass. And so it's a profession first of faith that Jesus is Lord. And she asks him for mercy. And then it says that she does him homage. That means that she's worshiping him. And she does so with great faith and with great persistence, because even when our Lord doesn't respond to her, and when he gives a negative response, she persists. And because of her faith and because of her humility, power comes forth from our Lord. He grants her request, and her daughter's healed. I think that's a great model for us to reflect upon as we approach the Lord present in the Eucharist. To first come before our Lord with our needs and to recognize that he has the power to heal us. And so to bring him our sorrows, our struggles, our brokenness, you know, the trials and sufferings that we endure on our daily life, to bring those before our Lord with great faith. And also to come before him with great humility. You know, when we pray, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, to place ourselves before him and to recognize that we're the ones that are in need of his mercy, of his healing. And as we come to Mass, to do him homage. That means to worship him. And so that requires an interior act, where we're not just sitting in the pews, but we place ourselves and humble ourselves before the Lord and recognize that he is the source of all goodness. He is worthy of all worship and all adoration. And so we place ourselves before him and give him our worship and our adoration. And so that requires an interior act of our will. This woman received her request even when it wasn't time for the Gentiles. How much more faith should we have when it is the time for the Gentiles? And not only is it the time for the Gentiles, but our Lord has said through the divine mercy revelation that now is the time of mercy. Now is a time in particular where the Lord is opening the floodgates of mercy so that he can shower his graces down upon his people. And not only do we make our prayers on our own, like this woman did in the gospel, but when we come to Mass, we're joining our prayers to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary, which is presented to us at the Mass as our petitions go before the throne of our Heavenly Father. And so when our Heavenly Father hears our petitions, it's not just coming from us. He sees his Son offering his life on the cross, and these petitions are coming through the blood of Jesus Christ. So how could our Lord refuse requests that are coming to him in that way? And so how much more faith should we approach our Lord with? And so it requires us to truly bring our needs before him, to worship him, to adore him, and with great faith that he will answer our petitions. There's so many things that I love about the worship of God at Mass. And I love how how the Mass brings people together, people who ordinarily wouldn't even know each other or have anything to do with each other. It brings people together into a community of charity and a community of faith. This community wouldn't exist if it weren't for the Church. And so I think that's beautiful. I love the way that the Mass elevates human dignity, because the worship and adoration of God is the highest action as human beings that we can do. It's a privilege that we're able to know who God is and to be able to worship Him. That's much different than just going to a sporting event for our own entertainment. You know, that might be fun, it's great relaxation, but it ultimately is just focused on ourselves. The Mass elevates us beyond ourselves to see the goodness of God and to be in a relationship with Him. And so the Mass elevates us beyond our selfishness, beyond our self-interest, into something greater, into the greatest thing that we could enter into, which is the worship of God. And I love how through the Eucharist, power comes forth from God. The grace of God is at work in powerful ways, many of which we don't even realize. But the grace of God is truly at work. In our first reading, Isaiah gives a prophecy, and this is centuries before the time of Christ, but it's a prophecy that the foreigners, meaning the Gentiles, which would be most of us, would join themselves to the Lord, and some would minister, meaning they would become priests. So some of the Gentiles would be priests, and the Gentiles would love the name of the Lord. They would keep holy His Sabbath, and they would be joyful in the Lord's house of prayer. It was a prophecy that the Lord would extend worship to the Gentiles, and it would be the source of our joy and our happiness. And that's what true worship of God should be like. It's not something we should be apathetic about, or something that we should see as a burden. Oh, I have to come to Mass again. It's something that we should look forward to, and something that we should be excited about, where praise should come out from the depths of our souls, recognizing who God is and His goodness, and recognizing the blessings that He showers down upon us and upon the whole world every day. A world that is so often apathetic and doesn't want anything to do with God. And yet He continues, because of His goodness, to shower His graces down. I often wonder why so many people have turned away from God and refused to worship. It's so powerful. It's so beautiful. And worship should be so natural. What should be more natural than us, as creatures created by God, to come before Him and give Him thanks and give Him adoration? Nothing should be more natural for us than to worship God. And yet so often people turn away. You know, why is that? I'm sure Satan has something to do with it. I'm sure he has a large part to do with it. You know, he works on our weaknesses and every possible reason he could incite within us to turn us away. But you know, ultimately, I'm sure there's many different reasons. I'm sure it's different for each person. And I don't know why in our generation. It hasn't been like this through human history. Almost every civilization throughout history has recognized the preeminence of worship of God or whatever gods they believe in. So there's something different about our culture where there's such a turning away from God. And I don't have the answers to that. I don't know why. But on our part, I think it's important for us to recognize the majesty and the beauty of what we're doing here. And that nothing should ever separate us from true and proper worship and adoration of God. You know, we should never leave the church for small reasons. If someone says something wrong to us or looks at us the wrong way, you know, we should never allow tiny things like that to interfere with the worship and adoration of God. And when we do come to worship, that we should worship with joy, not superficially, but from the depths of our souls. And that, like the woman we hear about in the gospel, that we should come to Him with our brokenness and our struggles and with our needs, and come with deep faith in the power of our Lord, that His grace is truly at work, that we are offering our prayers not just on our own, but through the blood of Christ, and that through the Eucharist, our Lord draws us beyond Himself into the very life of the Trinity.